on the line now. Radio.com Sports NFL Insights. By Indeed, the job today at Indeed.com/hire. Ross, how are you, man? How's it going?
Fellas, I am awesome. Looking forward to chatting every week. I just told Keith,
right,
you guys are my dudes.
Yeah, we love having you on. We love being on with you. And obviously, you know, you said it in the beginning of the year when everybody else was positive about the Browns, you had some major concerns about the coach and the offensive line. And obviously those things have played out. But one thing I don't know if you had a concern about, I don't remember, was Baker Mayfield, because he's been part of the issue too, Ross.
Yeah, and you guys all got mad at me, not you, but
yeah,
all the listeners.
Oh, sure.
Gosh, I got a bunch of tweets at Ross Tucker NFL about how much of a moron I was just because I thought it was more likely that the Browns would win 7 or 8 than I thought they would win 10.
Right.
I said on the Even Money podcast to take the under just because I thought 9 was a fair number, but I just thought 7 or 8 was a lot more likely than 10, and obviously that's going to end up being the case. And I did not think Baker Mayfield would regress. I did not at all. That was a surprise to me. I was in favor of the Browns keeping Greg Williams as head coach if they could retain Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator. I totally understood the mindset of, hey, we got a good thing rolling here with our young franchise quarterback. We got it going on offense. Let's try to keep that together. I don't know. You guys would know more than me. I've heard reports that if they had kept Greg Williams, that Freddie Kitchens would have gone elsewhere. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't love Greg either. I know he did a good job. I don't think he was a good long-term answer, but clearly he was a better answer than Freddie.
Well, clearly he has experience.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't make some of the bonehead moves,
correct,
that Freddie Kitchens makes every week. And honestly, guys, at what point do we stop blaming Freddie Kitchens and start to blame the people that hired him? I mean, he's clearly in over his head. I kind of feel bad for him. I mean, he's like, you know, he's just a good old boy from the South, played a quarterback at Alabama, was a running backs coach a year ago. I love the fact that he called out Hugh Jackson on Hard Knocks a year ago. I thought he did an unbelievable job as a first-time coordinator last year, you know, getting the team in the middle of the year. So I totally understood trying to keep that together was probably worth a shot. But, I mean, the guy's not a head coach. He's clearly in over his head. There's too much on his plate. It's beyond obvious. So to me, it's like at some point, I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because on the one hand, I understood the logic of trying to keep it together. On the other hand, though, all we do every week on social media is bash Freddie Kitchens. What about the people that hired him? What about Haslam and Dorsey and the people that, you know, put this talent together and then gave him a coach that has clearly cost them probably a couple games?
There's no doubt. I mean, this team would have, even if it was Greg Williams or somebody else, I think they'd have at least a couple more wins just with some common sense. I mean, some of this game management stuff and play calls have been just a travesty. But here we are, 3-6, Ross. I mean, do you have any faith that the Browns can, you know, put something together here? They have an easy schedule according to all the, you know, the FPI out there or whatever. It's the easiest schedule in the league, the final 7 games. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they could, you know, win some games here.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they got to like 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that they're talented enough to go on a run like that, but I don't really see it happening. I think they'll beat the Bengals twice, but I don't really see them beating the Ravens. I know what happened in week 4. I have no idea how that happened in week 4, but I don't see them sweeping the team I had number 1 in my power rankings today. I think the Arizona game could probably go either way. I think Pittsburgh Thursday night could go either way. So they beat the Bengals twice. That's 5 wins.
Miami.
And then I doubt they beat the Ravens, and then probably split with the Steelers. The Dolphins is interesting. I mean, I think they'll win that one, but you never know. And then, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw my tweet today. Just thinking about the Dolphins getting rid of their starting quarterback, left tackle, running back, best receiver, 2 pass rushers, and a defensive back that's going to be might be one of the candidates for defensive player of the year. and that they won two in a row puts into perspective how unbelievable it is that the Browns went 1-31. I mean, the Dolphins got rid of like five or six of their best 10 players, and they've won two games in a row.
Yeah, it is really amazing. Well, that's Hugh Jackson for you, and we didn't think it'd get worse, and it has. You know, the good news is they did play well against Buffalo, and we talked about the schedule. And you talk about this game against the Steelers, Russ. The thing that concerns me, obviously, is that the Browns, you know, the teams that could get to the quarterback like the Rams, especially earlier in the year, or the Niners, have really dominated the Browns' offensive line. And the Steelers are as good as any team in football getting to the quarterback.
They have played exceptionally well as of late. Bud Dupree, who always kind of looked like Tarzan but played like Jane to me, he's finally playing better. T.J. Watt has always been a monster. And what's weird is I would have told you guys the first month of the year that their best defensive player was Stephon Tuitt. And he got hurt, and all of a sudden the Steelers' defense that had been really disappointing in recent years has been the catalyst for their turnaround, because their offense is not good. I mean, wait till you guys see him Thursday night. It's like Mason Rudolph has no confidence. He just throws the check down to Jalen Samuels, and supposedly they might get James Conner back. But their offense is a tough watch. They literally score like 10 points on offense, but Minka Fitzpatrick somehow gets a touchdown or gets him down there. One of the best in-season trades I can ever remember. I mean, think about that trade, or even like Jadeveon Clowney for the Seahawks. It's unbelievable how impactful some of these trades have been. But I think this game ends up being very similar to the Bills game. I think the final score is like 19-16, and you're probably talking about whichever kicker makes the kicks, which drives me crazy, but that's NFL football.
What do you think the Steelers do after the season with their quarterback situation? Obviously, Big Ben's coming back, but I mean, how much longer is he going to be viable and healthy even?
You know, he's always – I'm actually surprised, Dustin, he's still playing at this age and at this level, like how he did last year where he threw for 5,000 yards. Everything I'd ever heard about him, you know, early in his career, you're talking about the last guy to get there, first guy to leave. Almost all the success he had was natural ability. You know, I've heard at times he weighs like 270 during the season. Like, it's crazy. Wow. He, you know, like you say, like quarterbacks check all the boxes. He checks the wrong boxes, yet he's still awesome. It's unbelievable. But there's no way I thought he'd be 38 and still playing at a high level or however old he is. Now coming off a major injury, I'm really skeptical, but the guy's just that natural gifted. I do think he puts more time into it now, and he's matured on and off the field. So I think they go with Ben. I think that, you know, on some level, this is a blessing in disguise, just in the sense that they'll know by the end of the year whether or not they think Mason Rudolph can be the heir apparent. I would say no. But they keep winning games with him in there because the defense is playing so well. I mean, if their defense played like this when they had Ben, or when they had Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, they would have won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, we were just saying before, what would the Steelers' record be right now? I mean, the fact that it's really remarkable. We referenced the Ravens earlier. It's mind-blowing how well they're playing right now and how well Lamar Jackson is playing. He's been incredible.
There's no question. I do power rankings on the Ross Tucker podcast every Tuesday. I have number one, like number one. I had the Niners up there.
Yeah.
And I know that the Patriots had lost recently and the Saints lost and Niners lost, but I really believe it. Like, I always do my power rankings in terms of if they played in my backyard right now, like a series of three or five or seven games, I think the Ravens would beat those teams. I don't know if you guys watched the Bengals game. They ran the option four or five times in the first half. Like the option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Army or Air Force or Jamel Holloway with Oklahoma in the mid-80s. I mean, it's like I've never seen NFL teams doing what they're doing. And, you know, people are going to come out of the woodwork if and when Lamar Jackson gets hurt. But I got news for you guys. 16 quarterbacks have gotten hurt. I mean, 16 teams have started multiple quarterbacks this year. So you can get hurt a lot of different ways. They're just kind of like, you know what, the heck with it. We're going to go for it. And it's working. It is so hard to stop the quarterback run game. College D coordinators I talk to, like, their eyes light up. They get, I mean, college D coordinators that have been in the NFL tell me that it's much harder to be a D coordinator in college because of all the quarterback run game stuff. And then when he throws the ball like he did against the Bengals, you can just forget it. It's over. And probably the bigger deal is we know about their defense is playing a lot better now. That's the big thing. The last couple of weeks, their defense has played much better against the Patriots, against the Bengals. Marcus Peters has been a difference maker for them. They are playing at a really, really high level right now. And I think they have as good a chance as anybody right now to win the Super Bowl.
Ross Tucker with us, former NFL offensive lineman, former Browns player, now radio.com NFL insider. What's interesting, I think, Ross, right now is there's not, you know, I know you talk about the Ravens being number one in the power rankings. I can't disagree with you, but there's no overwhelming favorite this year, right? I mean, especially because recently the Niners looked a little vulnerable, the Saints, the Patriots. I feel like there's a lot, you know, in the NFC, you've got more than six good teams, and in the AFC, you've got four really good teams. I think we're going to get a great – outside of, you know, the 5 and 6 seed in the AFC maybe, you're going to have a great postseason.
I agree, but I would also say this. 6 years in a row now, the Super Bowl has only been 1 and 2 seeds, and it's been 9 number one seeds and 3 number two seeds.
Yeah.
And while I think there aren't dominant teams such that those teams will definitely get there, Adam, I do think the opposite holds true, which is I don't think any of these teams are really good enough to win multiple road playoff games. Meaning I just don't envision even the Texans or the Chiefs with like Mahomes or Deshaun. I don't picture them going to Baltimore in the second week, and then to New England and winning back-to-back games like that. So I think number one, number two seeds, it's going to be one of them. It's going to be Ravens or Patriots probably. And then the NFC, Niners, maybe Saints, Vikings, Packers. I just think as good as the Seahawks or whoever doesn't win the NFC North is, I don't know that they're good enough to win two games on the road against these other teams, which makes getting the one or the two seed even more valuable. But you're right, it should be awesome. I think that there's probably, like, I think the Cowboys are good. I don't know how they look. Like, I go every position group, I watch them play. This is the best Dak's ever played. They're good. I don't know how they lose these games.
Yeah.
They're good. Like, they are good everywhere.
Yeah. I think Minnesota's pretty good, and Kirk Cousins, in the beginning of the year, people said he's the biggest bust. He's got 18 touchdowns, 3 picks.
I know. There's a lot of people that would take cut. And what he did the other night without Thielen, and people think he wasn't that impressive. He was under duress early. He was getting the ball out of his hands to Dalvin Cook. It should be a very, very fun postseason. And there are going to be some good teams in the NFC that don't make it. You know, that's the shame of this year for the Browns is that there was a window.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what I mean?
Like, there was absolute. When's the last time the Browns were in the playoffs? Like 03, 02?
02.
Yeah, there was absolutely a window.
Yeah.
Like, if Greg Williams was the Browns coach right now, we would be talking about how the Browns were right in the thick of the wild card race and with their remaining schedule had as good a chance as anybody.
Greg Williams, Josh McDaniels.
Anybody.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Other than Freddie.
That's right.
I still have yet to see one person on Twitter criticize the owner or the GM.
Well,
have you guys yet to criticize them for hiring him?
I have criticized both of them, and I've been very critical of Jimmy Haslam. He's a terrible owner. He's horrendous.
I got to be honest with you, though.
Yeah.
He's a terrible coach, and they should not have hired him, but at the time, I wasn't saying that. At the time, I was saying, man, I think it's worth at least.
Right.
I think I said sign Greg Williams on a 2-year deal. So, okay, what percentage chance do you think Freddie keeps his job?
I mean, it should be zero, but with the Browns, 50, you never know.
Probably 50-50, I think.
Depends how they play the rest of the year.
What if they win 4 out of their last 6?
Well,
Well, that's what's going to happen, Ross.
That's what's going to happen.
I don't think that's good enough. I fire him.
They're going to win just enough games, I guarantee you.
But he's not a good coach. Whatever their record ends up being, he's not a good coach. We know this. And he's not.
That would be my point.
Yes.
Which is that, like, there's no scenario where Freddie Kitchens is the head coach of the Browns, like, in 2021. So why would you bring him back for 2020 to, like, act like you don't want to admit you made a mistake? Like, it's okay.
Right.
You made a mistake.
Get it right next time.
But don't compound the error.
By the way, you know, MVP conversation, Lamar Jackson's in it. Russell Wilson, 23 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's been amazing. Does Christian McCaffrey – I mean, Christian McCaffrey's got a shot to break Chris Johnson's all-time record of yards from scrimmage. I think he'll probably come a little short there, but he's going to have over 2,000, you know, maybe 2,300 yards from scrimmage. If their record's good, does he belong in the conversation?
He absolutely should be in the conversation, but they're not even going to make the playoffs.
Probably not.
So,
yeah.
You know, that makes it – I mean, running back on a team that doesn't make the playoffs, he'll be offensive player of the year, which is like a hilarious award to me where it's like, all right, who's the guy that put up crazy stats but maybe really wasn't that valuable, but we should give him an award? Because really, right, the MVP, whoever that is, should be the offensive player of the year every year, but they give it to a different guy that just compiles stats. I'll tell you this much, and I've said this a million times, with the usage that they have of Christian McCaffrey, I sure as heck hope. I know that they can't give a new contract to a rookie or a guy on a rookie deal till after his third year, and that this is Christian McCaffrey's third year. But his dad knows the business. His agent's Joel Siegel. They better have said to the Panthers, if you're going to play him every snap and give him 57 touches a game, the day after the season, he's getting 15% of what Zeke got, 15% more than what Zeke got. Like, he better get a new deal because they are running him into the ground. Even if we can't see it yet, it's happening. Although the flip side of that is, isn't it like, didn't the state used to do this with every running back when we were young, like in the 80s?
Yes, and sure.
I guess not the Browns. Browns were Ernest Byner and Kelvin Mack. I love those dudes. But most teams had a guy that was just like the running back every play.
That's right. Now it's changed. Now there's very few guys like that.
It's really funny, isn't it? Like, it's every sport. Like, you know, basketball, load management, baseball, like a pitcher gets into the sixth inning, you're like, oh, my gosh,
this is
crazy. I'm writing a story this week about how the Giants, your squad, they shouldn't even play Saquon Barkley the rest of the year. For what?
Yeah.
I would just let that guy heal because he's clearly not right. I don't know how many explosive plays Saquon Barkley has in his body, but I would save them for the next 5 or 6 years. I wouldn't waste them on the rest of this season.
Ross Tucker, of course, radio.com sports NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home. Go to radio.com/home or search Home on the radio.com app. Listen live or via podcast. Just search Home. Ross, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, see you, dude.